It is a great blessing to be assembled together here at Knollwood to worship God today. It was encouraging for Christy and I to be able to sit in front of Allison and hear her sing, "He is in our midst," and to sit behind the boys in front of us and see them giving on the first day of the week, and to have all of us involved in that. It's a great blessing. I appreciate very much the song that we have just sung, The Fruit of the Spirit. In our Wednesday afternoon class, we are studying Galatians. Just so happens, this week we are going to start looking at those verses and discussing in detail the fruit of the Spirit. If you'd like to come and be with us, there's room, and we'd love to have you come and join us in that study. Appreciate so very much Hobart teaching class this morning. The family and I were away for a couple of days this weekend to be with some other Christians and to enjoy spending time with them, studying with them. And Hobart teaching class allowed me to do that a little bit easier, and I appreciate that so very much. I have a request. I'd like to ask you to remember two friends of ours in your prayers. These are both friends from the church in Edna, Texas, where we lived before we moved here. That congregation, in the time since we have left, 7 years since we have left, cancer has hit that congregation very hard. There have been a good number of our loved brethren there who have passed away because of cancer. One of them, her name is Donna Dunham. Her cancer has returned, and it has seemingly returned with a vengeance. And we would ask that you, if you can remember, that you would remember her in your prayers. One of the deacons there is named Robert Volkmer. He's one of these guys that has lived a healthy life. No reason to have any concern. Started having some back problems. Went to the doctor. Long story short, has stage 4 lung cancer. And they are very concerned about that. You won't remember these names, but if you could, please remember to pray for these two brethren in Edna, Texas, Donna Dunham and Robert Volkmer. I know they and their families would appreciate that so very much. As you can see, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I've looked back, and it's been a number of years since I've preached on anything to do with the Holy Spirit, and so it's past due. We need to talk about this. And I want to talk specifically about how the Holy Spirit influences man today. And the reason we need to focus in on this particular question, this particular aspect of the Holy Spirit, is because there's so much error that exists in the religious world today concerning how the Holy Spirit influences man. Just exactly what is the Holy Spirit doing today? How does the Holy Spirit deal with man? But a lot of false theories and false ideas abound because of this. The Holy Spirit is not the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is an individual part of the Godhead. But to help us to properly understand the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us, we need to understand His connection with the Word of God. We're going to focus on that in our study today. How is it that the Holy Spirit influences us today? What does the Holy Spirit do for us today? I want to begin by taking a look at the revelation of the will of God. That is how God has revealed His will, His mind, the contents of His heart to mankind. We can't know it automatically and of ourselves. It is something that God has to reveal unto us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul points out the fact that He has revealed to us what we cannot otherwise know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The thing I want to point out in this passage is that the Holy Spirit has revealed the will of God to us through words. Look at verse 13. Through words. God chose to communicate His will, His nature, His heart to us through words. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, also written by Paul, Paul writes, "How that by revelation He has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already," starting at verse 3, God has revealed this to Paul. He has written it down, verse 4, "by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So get this. God has revealed His will to you and to me through words that we can understand. Words that we can understand. That's important. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All Scripture, that is every word from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That phrase, inspiration of God, translated from a Greek word that literally means God breathed. This morning in our Bible class, as we were looking at Matthew chapter 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." We have every word that we need that has proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. We have it in our Scriptures. The Holy Spirit communicated the will of God to inspired men, and they wrote down every word God intended for us to have. Peter makes this clear in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He writes and says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That last phrase there, "moved by the Holy Spirit," means carried along by the Holy Spirit. And when I read this text and I think about that and think about the original language and the meaning there of that Greek word, I think back to when I was little and I was learning how to write. When you and I were little, we were learning how to write. We had that paper that was bigger than the paper we use now. The lines are much larger. And we had those pencils that seemed to be this big around. And I remember I had the pencil, and I was tracing, and I was trying to do... See, I'm a lefty. I was tracing, I was trying to write those letters just right. My mother, who was also a lefty, helped me with that. Teachers would help me, would get a hold of my hand sometimes, and help me to make those letters just the way I was supposed to make them. The Holy Spirit, as these men were writing the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit was carrying them along word by word, giving them every word that God intended for them to have. And the point that Peter is making here, that no prophecy is of any private interpretation, what that means is that when we open up our Bible to the very beginning, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we have an account of the creation of the world. And when Moses wrote that, he didn't say, "You know, we need to explain where we came from somehow. I think I'm going to tie it into a week. And I think I'm going to allot certain part of creation to each day, and that's how I'm going to put it together. No, Moses wrote down exactly what God wanted written. When we get to chapter 3, and we read of the fall of man, we read of how sin came into the world, Moses didn't say, You know what? The nations around about us, they have a good explanation of how sin came into the world, and I'm going to borrow that serpent motif. And I'm going to borrow that illustration that's used by these Gentile nations over here, and that's how I'm going to explain how sin came into the world. I've read of a brother in Christ who's tried to make that argument, that Moses, when he wrote Genesis chapter 3, was borrowing from the pagans. He wasn't borrowing anything from anyone. He was writing down every word the Holy Spirit told him to write. The beloved 23rd Psalm wasn't written by David sitting out in the pasture strumming on his instrument and putting together cool lyrics. Every word of that beloved psalm has come from God. Isaiah 53 with the suffering servant that we look back to now and we're touched by it, we're moved by it because it describes for us in such detail what's going to happen 700 years later on the cross. That wasn't Isaiah saying, you know, I think I'm just going to write about someone who is suffering. He was given every word. You and I can have confidence that when we pick up our Bible and open it to any page, we are reading the very words that God wanted us to have. And those words were given through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided these men in writing this. The Holy Spirit was not delivering His own words. He was delivering the words that were given to Him by the Father. In John chapter 16... verses 12 through 15, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare to you. The Holy Spirit, when He was leading the apostles and the other prophets in the New Testament as they were writing the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit didn't go rogue and set out on His own and deliver His own message. Every word came from the Father. And we can have confidence when we read the Scriptures that we are reading the very words that God intended for us to have. Here's the point. We would not have the Word of God if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit's primary work, His primary purpose, is revelation. Revealing the will of God to mankind. So when we're talking about what does the Holy Spirit do, how does the Holy Spirit influence man today, let's start by remembering what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals God's will to mankind. Here's something else that we need to observe and we need to understand and we need to accept, and that is the fact that the Holy Spirit speaks to man through words, not through feelings. Not through emotions, not through experiences that are better felt than told. When the Holy Spirit does His work of revelation, He reveals God's will through words. Allow me to take you through a number of Scriptures. And this is made so very, very clear. And the reason I want to make this point is because perhaps you have talked to people. I know that I have. And when we talk about things that they believe, things that they know are true, when we talk about their salvation, whether they know that they are saved, a lot of times an appeal would be made to, well, the Lord just laid that on my heart. I just feel that that is right. That's what the Lord revealed to me. That's what He laid on my heart. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I've heard it a lot. What's the Bible say about that? Does God communicate that way? Is that how the Holy Spirit reveals His will, God's will unto man in Acts 8, verse 29, when Philip was sent down to an area that was deserted to meet the Ethiopian eunuch? Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." He didn't lay a feeling on Philip. He told him what to do. And he went and he did it. In Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." These men were Gentiles, and they were taking Peter back to a Gentile, and there's no way Peter would have gone with them. But the Holy Spirit interceded and spoke and told Peter, "Go with them." Spoke in words. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And this is the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. What authority did Paul have to set out on a journey and to go and preach the gospel and establish churches in other places? The Holy Spirit said for him to do it. Very clear. Very clear in this matter. In Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city." The Holy Spirit is testifying. Everywhere Paul goes, he's testifying. How's he doing this? Through feelings? A better felt than told experience? No. Saying that chains and tribulations await me. Speaking in words. Acts 21, verse 11, "When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" The Holy Spirit said this. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, we've already read, "These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." The Holy Spirit teaches in words. Speaks in words, influences in words. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." Didn't give this general nebulous idea to the apostles that there's going to be a falling away. Spelled it out. Expressly says. When the Holy Spirit wanted to influence men, wanted to move men in the Bible, He spoke to them in words. In words that could be understood. Not through feelings, not through emotions, but through words. Here's something else we need to understand about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we said, is a member of the Godhead. That is, the Holy Spirit is deity. Now, the Holy Spirit reveals God's will, reveals it in words. Here's something else. The Holy Spirit, being deity, cannot contradict the Word of God. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit reveals unto man is in harmony with what God has already revealed unto man. As I said, the Holy Spirit doesn't go rogue. He doesn't take off on His own and do His own thing. The Holy Spirit is God. And His message will conform to God's message. God does not contradict Himself. God does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 tells us. Jesus Christ, who's also a member of the Godhead. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it speaks of God who is the Father of spirits with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no change in God's nature. And so there's no change in God's revelation. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be true all the way through. Anytime deity reveals something unto man, It's going to be in harmony with what has already been revealed unto man in God's Word. Also, we know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, God doesn't say one thing to one person and something contradictory to another person and have yet another person over here doing a third different thing. No, God's message is unified. God speaks the same thing. So that tells us that the Holy Spirit does not lead us into things that are contrary to or that are a violation of God's Word. And here's the reason I've taken the time to make this point. Whenever I talk with individuals and they want to share with me about what the Holy Spirit has laid on their heart, when I ask them, why do you believe this? Why are you doing this? They want to tell me the great feeling that they have that the Holy Spirit has laid this on their heart, and then they proceed to tell me something that I know is in contradiction with what the Bible plainly says. And so that tells me that no, the Holy Spirit has not revealed that unto you. Because the Holy Spirit, number one, no longer reveals God's will in a miraculous way. That has been, the Scripture has been given in its completeness. The Holy Spirit no longer reveals God's will miraculously to man today. So, number one, that takes care of that. But number two, if this message that you've received, you claim to have received and you feel so strongly about, is in contradiction with what I can plainly read in the Bible, I know that the Holy Spirit has not revealed that to you. There's another passage that's being overlooked, and that's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God." Now, I believe this passage in 1 John has reference to the teachers. When the word spirit is used there, don't trust every teacher that comes through. Put them to the test. Make sure they're teaching the Word of God. But the same principle would apply to those today who are claiming to be receiving messages from the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit. There's that still small voice that they hear in their ear as they're laying on their pillow at night. There's that overwhelming feeling that they have. Again, better felt than told, being laid on their heart. Well, have you put it to the test? No, they haven't. Why? Because they're so overwhelmed with the certainty that God is speaking to them, they don't even bother putting it to the test. Why do that? God has spoken to me. You know, if somebody wants something bad enough, they're going to believe that they have it. If somebody wants a direct message from God bad enough, they're going to talk themselves into believing that they have it. And once they have it, they're not going to bother putting it to the test. No, they'd rather have what they feel in their heart than to obey the Scripture and put it to the test. What is the test? This message that you think you've gotten, is it in harmony with what we can read in the Bible? If it's not, we know it hasn't come from God. And as far as preferring the feeling, which a lot of people do today, preferring the feeling, I'd rather have, I believe it to be true. I'm convinced of it because the Lord has laid that on my heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says very plainly, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Bible warns us that our hearts can deceive us. And are we going to pin the certainty of God's message and the certainty of our soul salvation on a feeling that we have in our heart? That's playing right into the devil's hand. Right into his hand. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to man through words. Through words which, when put to the test, are found to be in harmony with what God has revealed elsewhere in His Word. Something else that we need to understand, that we need to appreciate. I said before that the Holy Spirit is not the Word. He is a distinct member of the Godhead. But yet the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are inseparable and identical regarding their action upon the hearts of men. As you read through the Scriptures, you're going to find that whatever is affirmed of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for man, you're also going to find that the Word of God does the same thing. Let's go through this list. We'll go through it quickly, and it will make the point that I want us to understand. The Holy Spirit witnesses, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. John chapter 5, verse 39 says that the Scriptures bear witness. The Holy Spirit teaches and instructs, John 14. We've already seen in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Holy Spirit convicts, John 16, verse 8. The Word of God convicts, Titus 1, verse 9. We are born again by the Spirit, John chapter 3. We are born again by the Word of God, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. The Holy Spirit saves us. We are saved by the Word. We are sanctified by the Spirit, Romans 15, 16. We are sanctified by Thy truth. By Thy truth, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth, John 17, verse 17. We are cleansed by the Spirit. We are cleansed by the Word that Jesus has spoken. We are justified by the Spirit. We are justified by the Word. The Holy Spirit dwells in man. The Spirit dwells in us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3, verse 16. There's more. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The things that are written aforetime were written for our comfort. The Holy Spirit guides us. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Holy Spirit has power. The gospel is God's power to salvation. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. The things that are written to give us hope. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Thy Word is truth. The Holy Spirit gives life. The Word of God is life. The Holy Spirit gives us liberty. The truth will set us free. We are called by the Holy Spirit in Revelation 22, verse 17. We are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. The Holy Spirit, we have the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears fruit. Well, the Word of God, when it's planted in good and honest hearts, it bears fruit. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in the Word. And we could keep going. We could keep going with this list. This is here to show us that the Holy Spirit does work upon the hearts of men today. The Holy Spirit does influence us today. But the way He does so is not through a still small voice in our ear, not through a feeling that is laid upon our heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to us today and influences us today through His Word. Through the Word that He has revealed. The Word of God is the instrument by which the Holy Spirit performs His work upon men today. I want you to notice what is said of the Word of God. It is a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It is that double-edged sword that the Hebrew writer speaks of in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It is a fire that consumes. It is a hammer that destroys. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. It is that seed. In Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, that the seed is the Word of God. And as it finds its way into the good soil, it grows and it produces a crop, some a hundredfold. James chapter 1 says that it is a mirror. That the Word of God that has been revealed unto us is a mirror that we are to look into. We look into it and we see our face and we see how far we have come in measuring up to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does work upon our hearts today, but He works through the Word. As we read and study the Word of God, it cuts, doesn't it? It cuts like a sword. It pierces like a sword. And the sin that is in our life, and the error that is in our thinking, and the confusion that we have, like a fire, the Word of God burns that away. And like a hammer, the Holy Spirit destroys that and tears that down and clears that off so that there's good ground. Good ground that's ready to receive the seed. And when we receive it, then it's able to grow. And as it grows, we can look at it and we can prune it and we can make increase here and there. And we can see it grow and produce fruit as we look in the Word of God. The Word of God does every bit of that for us. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts today. That's how the Holy Spirit influences us today. Not in a better felt than told way, but always through His Word. The message is simple. It's simple, and yet it's so necessary. Because there's so much error that exists on this subject in the religious world, and not just in the religious world, but for a while now, I've been hearing it from people in the church. Not Knollwood, but I mean the Lord's church, who obviously are not being taught what the Scriptures have to say about the Holy Spirit. And when we neglect that, then we open ourselves up to receiving instruction from unreliable sources. And so, brethren, just pick up on things that they hear people saying about the Holy Spirit, and they begin to believe it too, even though it's contrary to what God has plainly taught in His Word. Now, the Holy Spirit influences us today, but He always does so in harmony with His Word, because He always does so through His Word. How can I know that I'm saved? What do I have to do in order to be saved? Well, the Holy Spirit is not going to speak to me directly, telling me what I have to do to be saved. The Holy Spirit is not going to fill my heart with an overwhelming emotion, certifying or telling me that I've been saved. The Holy Spirit is not going to lay anything upon my heart that is contrary to what He's already revealed in His Word. What do I have to do to be saved? Well, the Holy Spirit tells me what I have to do to be saved. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Holy Spirit tells me that I have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If I don't, I'm going to be lost in my sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the Holy Spirit tells me that I have to repent of my sins. Times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Holy Spirit tells me that I must confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus is the Son of God. And in Mark 16, verse 16, the Holy Spirit still today tells me that I have to be baptized in order to be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's how the Holy Spirit talks to you today. That's how He talks to me today. Through His Word. And when we go to His Word, we don't have to rely upon our feelings. We don't have to rely upon someone else's feelings or experience. The Holy Spirit plainly speaks to us in His Word, influences us through His Word. Is the Spirit talking to you this morning? Is the Spirit telling you that you need to make changes in your life to be right with God? You need to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized to wash away your sins. Don't quench the Spirit, as Paul would tell the Thessalonians. Don't extinguish that. Don't put that out. You listen to what the Spirit has told you today. If you've done that and you become unfaithful, you listen to what the Spirit has told you to repent, to confess, to pray, and to get your life right with God. Listen to the Spirit. Open your Bible and listen to the Spirit. If you need to respond to the invitation, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?